God bless you. I hope you're all feeling well today. Yeah. Oldie, we had a special sister in our church. She used to sing this song when I was so little. And we heard it last Saturday, and I really liked it. And you can help me if you know it. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's at dawn and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? The family is preparing for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride when the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." Is that wedding music I hear? Oh, the bride's adorned and ready to appear.
Let's all stand as we change over the service this evening. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen. You love him tonight.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, and say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here tonight in the middle of the week. Refreshing time. We had a good time this weekend with Brother Willie. And he sent a text back and said, thank you very much for the invite and the good spirits. He had a little snafu Sunday. They canceled his flight. I had not known of Delta canceling a flight. Now, Spirit Air, it's not the Holy Spirit, that's for sure. It'll test your spirit. But usually Delta doesn't cancel flights. So while I was telling y'all we were leaving Sunday to go to the airport, he was sitting in there shaking his head, and I thought, well, you stay in another day, but they had canceled his flight on the phone. So we took him down to the airport and put him up in a motel there, and he got home just fine to West Palm Beach. But he says he had a really good time. I really enjoyed being with him. I hadn't seen him, like I said, in a long time. But he sends his greetings. He made it home safe. By way of announcements, this coming Sunday, the 7th, we're going to have one service in the morning regular. Then the second service, we'll have a vow renewal service, a baby dedication, or a dedication of yourself if you want to do that. And then we'll have a baptismal service. The pool is ready. I drained it, cleaned it, and it's filling up now. So it will be ready to go, and I'll turn the heater on, and it'll be good and warm for Sunday. So if anybody wants to be baptized, that will be the last thing we do. And also remember, we will take communion Sunday morning after the first service. That way we'll still be able to, man, we'll get every ordinance we got in that one day. So I appreciate that. I thank the Lord for giving us an opportunity to do every one of them. It's just an honor. People get honored to do other things. It's an honor to baptize somebody, to dedicate the baby, to do a wedding. We'll be doing Lauren Fleeman's wedding Saturday. So just keep us in prayer there, but we'll be back late Sunday night. Next Saturday, from 5 to 6, we'll have prayer service. That'll be the 13th. And then from 6 to 8, we'll have Bible study. And that'll be a continuation of the Bible study we had. I still have a sheet of questions that we need to answer. And we were not going to have Bible study this month, but we're going to have it that Saturday. We sure would appreciate it if you come. If not, then it'll be on cassette. Also, tonight, I don't think we're online at the moment. So let's pray that thing gets back up. I hate we have to deal with the internet, but we have to deal with the internet. So let's just pray that it's not in the building, it's somewhere out there. So let's just pray that thing will get back up, because there are several people that are streaming, that stream every service, and we sure want them to feel a part of us and not be left out, not be in the dark. So let's just pray that thing will get back up. Then that will be the 13th. Then we'll have normal service on the 14th, which will be Mother's Day. And then the next Saturday at 3 o'clock, we'll have a youth service. Brother William Borlevon will be with us. We're expecting several. I just talked to Brother Ravi. They're coming from Macon. And I know that Brother Sam and their family's coming, Sister Monica's brother. So I talked to Brother Martin. I'm going to minister for him the end of the month. And he said he would tell his people and they will try to come also. So let's just keep that in prayer. We will have a good service. And then we'll only have one service the next, that Sunday, May the 21st. And Brother William will be with us then. And like I said, the next Sunday, I'll be at Brother Martin's speaking for him. So let's just keep those in prayer. Thank God that he got Brother Bob and Brother Joe back. It was good to see them. They were missed. And we got them back now, so everything's okay. We're all right. So all mine's clear. Everything else good. I don't know. Next Wednesday, I think it's Aaron's turn to preach. So maybe I think it's your turn. So you'll be preaching next Wednesday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember me. My PSA level still going up. It's at about 11 now. So, but they're not scared about anything. We just had a biopsy a year ago, and but it's concerning anyway. It's not normal. So let's just keep that in prayer. The guy, the doctor wasn't so concerned, but I got to go back in a couple of months and have another blood test. So let's just pray that those numbers are back down. As we get older, men, you know what I'm talking about. So just keep those things in our prayer. We all are falling apart on the outside, but let's build ourselves up on the inside. Amen. And let that man take over. All right. And he won't need he'll never need an operation, and thank God he'll never have a blood test. Because you know what? Our blood's already been tested. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus. So we appreciate that. So let's bow our heads. And remember Dale Farbush's family. I know that it looks dark, but it ain't dark till it's dark, right? So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening you've given us. Thank you for the time we have to come in the middle of the week, Lord. And I pray that you'd refresh us just for a few moments. I'll be with the Farbush family, Lord, and just touch Dale's soul, Father, and be with him, Lord, and his wife and the family. Lord, I pray that you would just be with each one that's not here, Sister Frieda, different ones, Lord, that we always think about, Lord. We pray that you would just raise each one of them up, Father, for your honor and glory. You're the healer. You'll never stop being a healer till we walk into that new body. Father, I pray that you'd just touch each one, Lord, that's here today that may be sick, Lord, and the different things. We pray, Lord, that you would help us that this weekend we'll come together and get all minds clear, all hearts clear. And as we're going to speak just a moment about reconciling through water baptism, through vow renewals. And, Lord, we want to renew our vow to you, Father, because you're our husband. You're a husband. You're a father. You're all the different titles. But, Lord, let's see you tonight as our reconciler, the one that brings everything back to where it's supposed to be. You're the only one that can do it, Lord. We pray that you'd just bless, Lord, the ones in the foreign fields. We think about them, Lord, doing their job. And we pray that you'd bless them in the Philippines and Jamaica and the different places, India, that we support. I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Just take care of us in the furtherment of this service. You take over, Lord, and you have the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Part 105. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. That's so important that we see that the Word, everybody's scared when you say flesh. When you say flesh, everybody's like, no, there's no way. You know, the flesh is, you know, it's just evil. And it's, well, in a sense, it will be sticky until the time that we take the body change. But we got to start somewhere believing that what's inside of us is stronger than what's on the outside of us. And what's on the inside of us is going to, what? It's going to showcase itself on the outside. And our flesh will be changed. We're not going to be changed into rocks and stone and paper. No, we're still going to be flesh for an eternity. But there's a way that we have to get there. And that's what the prescription, as Brother Willie was talking about this weekend, there's a prescribed way of doing things. And there's a prescription, and you got to go by that prescription. You can't go any other way. Because you know why? He saw that that was the only way that was needed for us to get that way, to get to a body change. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1. And besides this, what? Besides the new birth, besides my beginning of faith, besides my, as we're going to speak in just a little bit about, you've been reconciled in your soul, but what about the rest of you? All right, because reconciling brings it all back together, not just pieces. All right, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, because Brother Bram says we go way up here until we have to have godliness, until God requires these things. Why? Because we're not as close to God as we should be. Even at faith, we're not as close to God as we should be. I mean, were you satisfied the day you got born again? No, that just started your journey. That just started your yearning to want to be more and to have more of God. And besides this, in other words, besides your experience, besides your born-again experience, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, excuse me, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. So let's have a seat, and I'll read this. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy. I like that scripture, without controversy. In other words, you know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. I know who I believe, and I am what? Persuaded that he's able to do that. In other words, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So now watch, you can take that and go, all right, well, that great is the mystery of godliness. It's so far out there we can't get to it. No, Paul brings it right back in. And says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Now, where is he now? He's in me and you. All right, so he came back into us, as we're going to speak of just a moment about, that just came to me a few minutes ago about reconciliation. What am I saying? Reconciliation does one thing. It repairs our relationship. When you reconcile with your wife or you reconcile with your parents, you haven't met them, you know, you hadn't talked to them for years because of some XYZ, and then it comes back and you reconcile back, it brings you back into fellowship. Well, God, now when you get born again, you are coming into fellowship with God, but you're not in full fellowship with God. There are things that God is not going to touch until you get rid of them. Amen? No, they're not going to touch. Just like Brother Brown preached, doors and doors. He steps into your house. You let him into your house, but you close this door of pride, and you close this door of this and this door of that, and you don't let him in. Well, he wants to get in there and clean that house up, but he will not knock the door down. Because you make a choice to let him or not to let him. But that word controversy is without strife, without dispute, without quarreling. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then Brother Willie touched on the plan of redemption, which began all the way into Genesis. And it tells us it did not change. The plan never changed, so the plan was exactly, but thank God he did it by what? Romans 8:29. Though for whom he did what? Number one, he foreknew. Or foreknow. He also did number two, predestinate. Okay, I see what you're going to do. Now I'm going to predestinate that to come to pass because I've already seen it come to pass. To me, that's so simple. That's why Brother Branham could stand in the pulpit. And he could stand there and he said, I see you as a young child and you were run over or a dog bit you. I mean, he's watching their life. There is no guesswork to it. They were saying it was mental telepathy. Well, mental telepathy doesn't always work because it works off of sometimes, you know, your psychiatrist works off of what you say. And then what they're learned or taught to do, they react in this way. All right. That's just like the people that call you, and a guy called me one time, and he said, Mr. Dale, he said, I've got this plan for you. And he said, I got this service and, you know, 100-something channels. And he goes into this big spiel. And I said, well, that's great, man. I said, I'm not going to tell you that I have another plan. I'm not going to tell you that I use Comcast instead of what you're. I said, I'm going to tell you I don't even have a television. Dead silence. Because he's reading down, you know, if you say this, this is what he's supposed to react. If you say this, they've got a predetermined script that if you say this, we say this. Well, there wasn't one on there that says, I don't have a television. Because he said, oh, and I said, you may think I'm lying just to get you off the phone. I said, but I do not have a television that's hooked up to any kind of cable. Right. Okay, thank you. Click. You know, he goes on to the next person. But that's what the one he foreknew. So God, he predestinated by what he saw. He already knew what was. He didn't guess what was going to happen. Brother Brown didn't guess what was going to happen. He saw what was going to happen. And actually, he saw the word of God being made manifest in a bride, in a vision of us walking, marching, where? Upward. He saw us. He saw us marching towards something. Oh, yeah, we might get out of step, and we have got out of step. But he saw us marching and going forward, and why can't we get into that vision? Get into what he saw. Play our part. So he foreknew it, but so he by foreseeing it, he could predetermine everything. And as Brother Brown said, that was a bad word to use because predetermined is. You were predetermined by God to be here tonight because he saw you billions of years ago sitting here tonight. That's the way he predetermined. He didn't predetermine because he made you come here. Now he gave you a desire. He gives everybody a desire to do something. And then what does the world do? They drink it up and they smoke it up and they pill it up and they this and that and the other. That's what they do. But what do you and I do? We come to church to hear from God. Because that desire is there. Amen. And Brother Brown said, if there was a fish, there had to be water already there. Right. So if you have a desire to be born again, healed, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's something there for you tonight to get. Yes. If you desire it. That's right. And he saw whether you desire it or not. Amen. So we can't fool God, right? So he predetermines by what he foresaw. And I can understand that. I got it. All right, and I hope you do too. You've been taught, as Brother Willie Smiley, we were talking about afterwards, and then today I was talking to Brother Andre, and I want y'all to understand something. Brother Dale may be my dad, my blood, but he's helped so many people that you'll never know.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. He helped us, sure. But he helps so many people that you'll never know until we get to the other side that's been affected. I say even infected. I like being infected by God. But you hear people talk about things and how that they wouldn't have been here if they hadn't have been here, and how Brother Willie stood and told us about, because we were talking about the doctrine that some of the great people are, you know, have been preaching for years, that Adam had to put his natural seed into Eve's womb to save her. And he said, I heard your dad the first time say that, you know, 15, 18 years ago. And he said, that stuck with me. And he said, I knew they were wrong. Okay, well, praise God. What if they heard something else? Like everybody else heard something else. Got to give them a rose while they're here. But I tell you, it's ministers don't. You know, sometimes Bob was struggling Wednesday night. I know that. And sometimes, you know, it's like you're preaching to cardboard people. And I'm just being honest. And, you know, it's going out there and it's coming back. It's going out there and coming back. But somebody is paying attention somewhere. Somewhere. He said, if you'll preach my word, it'll not return void. It will accomplish what it set out to do. And as you and I know many, many times, we have sat and even I'm going to just admit it. I've sat down and Brother Dale's preaching his heart out and I didn't get a thing. As great of what's coming out, you know, that wasn't for me. But somewhere down the line, something would ring later on. As we process what's going on, we go, like Brother Willie, he heard that doctrine. He heard and sat in the meetings. How the great brother, you know, I say great brother, he's well known in the message, would preach that doctrine, and he said, it just didn't ring true to me. He said, then I heard your dad explain it 15, 18, whatever, 20 years ago. This stuff's old hat. I don't want to say old by old, but it's old hat. We've been going through this for a long period of time. But just thank God when you set some time and you don't think nothing's going on and nothing's happening. Well, maybe it's not your time to have something happening, but let somebody else, don't stand in the way, but let somebody else have something. All right? Amen. So I said before, when you pray, don't so much pray for the person. That's okay, you can. But just pray that you don't hinder them. Turn to Brother Ram said, you can hinder them from getting healed. So listen, take me out of the equation. Take my sin and my bad thoughts and all the things that I did the day before and the day of. All the fights and angries and all the things I got into. Take that away, Lord, so that you can flow to that person. Amen. And let their faith connect with God's faith and them get something and not me and you stand in the way like a cardboard doll and just stand there and you know, keep God from working. I don't want to ever be where I'm accused of stopping somebody from getting their healing or stop somebody from getting their salvation. I don't want that. And I know you shouldn't either, all right? That's why we pray when we get here. We try to get here a little bit early so that we can, you know, get that stuff out. You know, kind of let the washing of the water, the word, you know, you listen to a prophet. Just listening to a prophet will drive a devil crazy. Amen? You listen to Brother Branham, and if you have a little something going on in your life, you're going, oh, my. Yeah. You just start, you know, get a little nervous, and then that thing leaves you, and I thank God. You think I'm crazy? What did David do when Saul was vexed with a spirit? He called David in. David played the harp, and the Bible said the evil spirits left Saul. Amen? So let's don't discount music either. So, and the song leader said, thank you very much. All right. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, number three, and whom he called, number three, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, all this is made by this one little word right there, grace. It's all through grace. By grace are you saved through faith. All right? So the grace of God is what saw you right here at number one. He saw you want it. More than you wanted to go do this and that and the other. More than you wanted to drink anymore. You know, sometimes you just got tired of being sick and tired, right? We always say that. But I got tired of being sick and tired. And when you do that, something is going to, you're either going to become hard shell and never make it back. Or you'll become so soft. Because remember, he gives you a new heart. At sanctification, not at the new birth, at sanctification, to soften you up so he can speak to us the word of God. In the same way with the sanctification that we're under now, we're under the second work of sanctification, not the sanctification to get cleaned up to get born again. If you're already born again, you don't need to get cleaned up and get born again. All right? That's why I said, like what a minister said, he said, look, all these people that get baptized 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times, he said, what happens is, he said, you just, you know, you'll get a bad thought or you'll have a bad day and you say, I think I need to get rebaptized. No, you don't need to get rebaptized. You need to just repent. Just repent and go on. We're going to have a baptism. We baptize several over again, and that's okay. But sometimes that water will not wash your bad thoughts, bad sin. It won't wash it away. You need help somewhere else. You don't need help in the water. Amen. Now, in the waterway is a way to go. It's a way to get started. We can't go around it. But once we go through it, let's don't go back and go through it again. Let's cross that river and continue on. Whom he justified, he also glorified. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, watch what Brother Brown says. So, foreknowledge looks back and says that what? He foresaw what? This right here. And he knows that's the reason he could tell what the end was from the beginning. And therefore, knowing that all these marvelous days that we're living in now. You know, Brother Ram, he tells us, he said he's been 30-something years waiting on to preach the statue of perfect man. It's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. Right. All right? Those virtues have been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And they were written by people that were involved in those virtues. That the virtues were flowing, the prophet said, flowing through their life. But then Satan, the effects of the word got eat down. Oh, that's okay. You don't have to have, you need to have worldly knowledge, not the knowledge of God. No, you got to have the knowledge of God. And therefore, knowing that all these marvelous days that we're living in now, and to stand and witness and see the things, same way with me standing here today and you sitting there today. Brother Brown preached this when? In 1956. Wow, that's what, 50, 60, 70 years ago, almost? What are we seeing now that he didn't even get to see? What are we seeing now that he didn't even get to see? And he's saying we're seeing these things now and witnessing now and see the things that we've seen. God had to make a preparation for it. And he foresaw a group of people that would take this message and live it right. That's just plain as day. There's somebody going to make it. And you just got to say it's me. God, you saw me. Then the little conversation that we all had about, you look out on the internet and you listen and you watch. When you see people that don't have a lot of background, like we were talking about, tell us that we don't have to have a choice anymore. That we're not a choice. We always was this. Well, that, to me, that just takes redemption out of the way. Then we always was this great something. And we always, we never did. No, you were a sinner. I sinned. But watch what Brother Brown said. Watch how wonderful he says this. If God did that, in other words, bringing you here, making you a healthy guy, God seen so in you when you were young and pretty, and women has got old, you men who were young, strong, and healthy, how you enjoyed being a man, your little companion. If God did that without you having any say-so into it. Now, see, that looks like you didn't have a choice. Well, listen, you didn't have a choice to get here. He's going to tell you that. But once you get here, the reason he put you here, he made a choice. How many millions of sperm died when you were conceived? How many eggs died when you were conceived? You didn't have one thing to do with that. But God had to get you here that way because of what happened in the garden. He had to get you here. Brother Bram said he bred this one to this one, this one to this one to get you here. In other words, to get your character here, to get your person here. So that he can deal with that person in the set time. And then knowing that we have to go through this statue of perfect man, he put a group of people on the earth that can live these virtues. Amen. In the darkest hour, not the first church age, I'm talking about the last church age. You and I, our commission is to live those things just like they did back. Peter, James, and John, we love them, we appreciate them. They're gone. We are the living word made manifest today. They spoke of us. Every prophet in the Old Testament spoke of you sitting here tonight. That they wanted to come to this. They wanted to be able to live what they were saying. David didn't live all he was saying, all those Psalms. He wasn't perfect. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. Not a good poster child for Christianity. But God loved him. God knew his heart. He knew he didn't want to do those things. Same way with me and you. He knows we don't want to do things I'm sorry. Y'all haven't done anything wrong since you got born again. Okay. I'm sorry. Well, I can skip all that. I don't think so. We sin every day. We make mistakes every day. But now let's continue. If God did that without you having any say-so into it. Now that's the truth. You never said, make me thus. Who'd take any thought and could add one cubit to his stature? But if he made you thus, without you having anything to say, how much more can he, look, through his brooding, give you a choice? Amen. And you're on the basis of free moral. What is free moral agency? Number one, it's free. Boy, that takes a lot. It says right there, free, moral, and who's the agency? You. And you are a moral or an immoral person, but you have free will inside of you to do what you want to do. Even now, when you're born again tonight, you can leave better or worse. And you're on the basis of free moral agency. You can turn this down, or you can accept it. Now that sounds to me like a choice. That don't sound like to me you're going to accept it, and that's just the way it's going to be. No. To turn it down is to be lost and remain potash and calcium and petroleum, but to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit in His spirit, part of the Logos, part of that John 1:1. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was made flesh, and the Logos was made flesh in your flesh. Part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions. What are we dealing with? To me, as Brother Jack was talking about, you know, having battles in the wars, well, that's your emotions right there. Okay? Now, you can have an emotion of having temperance and be really bad. But you can have an emotion of temperance, as Jesus did, and drove the people out of the temple, but He turned around and died for every one of them. Gave His life so that they could be saved. And who knows if they did or didn't. All right? Just not part of the story. Controlling your emotion. And when He coos through His word, you coo back and answer. Now, why would you give an answer if it was just all stamped and set and dry? Cut. Right. You have to answer. Listen, we'll have to answer even being a Christian. We got to answer for the things that we do. Someday, way back before there was ever a light on the earth, our bodies laid in this dust. Look, our bodies. Not our soul. If you're born again today, your soul was with God and in God. If you're not, it was somewhere that God had set aside to give everybody a soul. Is that the only way you can explain it? There's somewhere God gives everybody a soul. All souls are mine. Satan can't make a soul. God made Hitler's soul. But then what He done, He put Hitler on display and gave Hitler a choice. And He made His choice, and we see by history that He made a pretty bad one. All right? But God made His soul. So you can't blame the devil for making His soul. You blame Hitler for leaning toward the devil and giving the devil his soul. Everybody with me? Way back before there was light on the earth, our bodies laid in the dust, not our soul. You're made from the dust, out of the potash, calcium, petroleum, cosmic light. God sent forth the great Holy Spirit to brood over the earth. And as He brooded, the flowers came up. The birds flew out. Animals came from the earth. Then came a man. Now listen, that man didn't come up out of the earth, a soul. He was already that Genesis 1:26 man. He was the soul of God. Because God had imparted that before He put him in human flesh. You know, you hear them preaching, well, the seed was laying in the ground. The seed for your body, absolutely. But the seed for your soul was in God. Amen. Even your mom and daddy didn't give you a soul. They had nothing to do with your life. They had something to do with get the shell here. But nothing to do with your life. Then came a man and he sinned and separated himself from the fellowship of God. That's kind of shows to me there was a choice made somewhere. And because of this horrible thing, he was commanded by God to return back to the dust of the earth. But, oh Lord God, we are so glad that before he returns, you have promised a redeemer. And today, since he has come and sent forth the Holy Spirit again, now he's still brooding over the dust, our bodies. And if he raised me and brought me to what I am now without having a choice. Now, he's talking about bringing his body. He's talking about bringing the person here on earth. To do what? To make a choice. How much more will he raise me from the dust of the earth after we've made a choice? And he has brooded to us, and we brood back to him. We love him. Jesus, Brother Brown said in 1959, he says, now you've got to make a choice. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. Now you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make a choice. And this may be your last time to make a choice. It doesn't sound like you always was. Tomorrow may be too late. God might have chose you to eternal life. Remember, he died that everyone may have eternal life. Every person, even Cain, even Judas. But if you don't make up your mind and accept it, somebody else will take your place. Boy, it don't seem like it's all cut and dry, does it? Seems like you got a little bit to do with it, because if God don't give you the Holy Ghost because you don't want it, he'll give it to somebody else. I'm just reading what Brother Brown said, okay? I'm reading a quote. I know it's before the seals, but blah, blah, blah. I believe it's all true. Amen. So back in the back part of God's mind. We quote this 100,000 times. But have you ever been back there? Have you ever been back there? Has God ever give you a revelation of something you never knew before in your life that it was just so contrary to what you believed? That was the back part of God's mind. Because God does have a mind of thinking. Now listen, I want to tell you something. He has a back part of God's mind. He has something that he was going to achieve. So there's a part that he kept. But now remember, Judas was in the mind of God. Adolf Hitler was in the mind of God. But he was a part of the mind of God. You and I, by the new birth, are the very thinking of God. Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
If you're not, then...
Amen.
So we have been literally back in the back part of God's mind where nobody's been before. There's a group... Listen, everybody was in the mind of God. Where do you think everybody came from? Well, I'm talking about the souls. God said, all souls are mine. In other words, I am the source of life. I'm giving out life. Billions of life, and he's not no one less person than he was when he gave the first one. But there's 8 billion people in the world now. We've gained another billion. God gave every one of them life to make a choice to have eternal life. To me, that's so plain. But if you're born again tonight, you have access to the back part of God's mind, where there's a place that he is thinking and going to achieve a motive, and he's going to let himself be expressed in you.
Right.
Not the world.
Amen.
In you.
Yeah.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen, the unrighteous are in the mind of God.
Right.
Everybody. There's not a person on the earth that God said, well, I never thought of that one. Amen?
Right.
Everything. He thought of it all. And there is an unrighteous part, not of God. Now listen, that's why Brother Brown explained many, many times that when a baby is born, it's perfect, because that soul comes from God. It can't come from God marred. Hello, come on, somebody. It can't come marred. It has to come perfect and pure. Because remember, perfect is complete. Perfect's not that he never pooped, he never peed, he never threw up, he never told a lie. That ain't perfect in God. But he was complete, but he made a choice, or she made a choice at the age of accountability to become righteous or unrighteous. As we see many times, Brother Brown tells us, and we'll get into that maybe later on, way later on when we get up to the headstone. There's some people that got wrote in a book that got their names erased. So they were in the thinking. They were in a book. They were getting ready to be transferred into the Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal section. But got them erased because of their choice. Not because of God's choice, or he couldn't say, I wish that all. Listen, he wished it all be in one book. He wished he didn't have to have 7 dimensions. He wished that he didn't have to have disfellowship with man. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I like Brother Willie what he was saying, but he never said this part, but what a crushing blow. He's talking about being crushed. What a crushing blow to humanity.
Right.
Adam never had to worry about arthritis.
Right.
Pre-fall.
Yeah.
Never had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Never had an upset stomach. Everything you eat was perfect. Didn't have to worry and build a fence because of bad neighbors. Praise the Lord anyhow. He didn't have to build. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Why do we build a fence? Don't fences make good neighbors? That's what I heard. But he had to build a fence to keep Cheetah from coming through his house and eating him. It was a crushing blow to Adam because he had control of everything. He had control of the tree. He said, hey, I don't want that tree over there. I'll move it over this way. I don't want that mountain over there. It's hiding my view. Move it over this way. Then all of a sudden one day, he looks at the mountain and looks at the tree and goes, I can't do a thing about it. I can't even save my own wife. So you know what? I'm going to go out with her. I can't save her, but I'm going with her. Think about that. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves and mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, nice people, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you and me. But you are washed, but you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Lamb's Book of Life, eternal section. Listen, when the Lamb took the book in Revelation 5, he took one book. It didn't have different sections in it. It was the book of the redeemed on earth. Now, there's some people going to be redeemed in heaven. Is everybody with me? Hello, come on. Yeah. Foolish virgin's going to be, can't be redeemed here. They're going to be redeemed there. Cup of water in my name is going to be redeemed there. Those different things like that. But you got to be redeemed here. That book that he took was because the Lamb was slain and you accepted it. Hallelujah. He put your name in a book. And he sealed it. But then he opened it up to show you you were inside of it. What a glorious thing we've come to this day and time. If you ask John Wesley, and I don't know, maybe I'm going out on a limb here. You ask John Wesley, do you know your name's in the book? He said, I don't know. I can't see it. I can't see everything. He couldn't. Listen, folks. John Wesley was a church age messenger, right? Luther was a church age messenger. But listen, they weren't in the back part of God's mind like me and you are. Because God had to wink at the ignorance of him knowing they baptized people wrong. They had false doctrine. That's why they had to die to be purged. Come on. But God sent a prophet to put us in that part of God's mind that was perfect, that had no flaw in doctrine. God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your flaw in your body. He wants your soul to be unflawed, if that's a word. That's why he gave us this. That's why he gave us a message. I'll read in just a minute. A message of reconciliation. Because he gave us a word of reconciliation. How can you have a message without the word? Listen, John Wesley could not stand in his congregation and say, what I'm preaching to you is going to change your body. As great as he preached sanctification, he could not preach us, Brother John. He couldn't preach that group of people to a body change. You know how I know that? They're all in the grave. You are not. We have a chance. We're given the opportunity to be in this age to give us a chance. Because he what? Foresaw somebody would come to the body change. God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. God didn't put us in a bubble and say, live like a Christian. St. John 17, he didn't say, Lord, take them out of the world. Put a bubble around them. Put them on an island, Lord, with nothing but 1,100 sermons. No, he puts you in the darkest time, the darkest hour, and some of the worst people to work with in your life. I hope nobody from the post office is listening at the moment. They did a couple of times have clicked on. So, I'm not talking about y'all. But he did. He put us in a wicked and perverse, crooked and perverse generation or nation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do we shine? Do we shine in that part that we bump shoulders with the devil himself? Y'all pray for me then. Come to work with me for a little bit then. If y'all just sitting there with you looking at me like that. If I don't get any point, this is the point I want to get across right here. Genesis 17:1. Now watch. When Abram. Now look. Watch. Abram became who? Abraham. The father of our faith. Everybody with me? The same guy that when God told him to get up in Genesis 14:12 and 13:14, to get up and leave his job, his family, and what does he do? He gets up and leaves, but he takes Lot with him. Remember when I preached the other day about it's better to obey? It's better to obey what God said than to say, I think I'll save my brother. That's what Abram was saying. Come on, Lot. There's something going on that's good. I feel it. Well, remember, it didn't work out for old Lot very well. But remember, Lot had a righteous soul. So that's what the Bible says. But now watch this scenario just for a minute. I know this is kind of getting off, but it has a lot to do with the statue of perfect bed. But it just came to me last night. And when Abram, now look, Abram was 99. He was Abram for 99 years. A sticker. One that laughed at God. One that gave his wife away. Twice. Once when he was Abram and once when he was Abraham. Hello. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's God Almighty himself, Elohim. Elohim appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God had to foreknow Abram was going to be Abraham. Because in this scripture right here, he's not yet. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Even in your darkest time, God sees you. Even your Abram issues. He sees an Abraham. Because Abram became Abraham. Hallelujah. He became that. Abram was part of the name Abraham. You, even your baby form justification, baby form. You have a name. You're a bride. You're potential. But he said, walk before me, Bob Black. And be perfect. Amen. Even as your Abram comes up.
Right. Right. Come on.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
Now what does that word perfect mean? See, because everybody, and like I said before, you try to witness to people and try to, you know, like one of the girls at work, hope she's not watching again. But she said, God's a good God. Now that's what she said. She's a Baptist girl. And God doesn't mind if June wears a dress and she wears pants. God's not looking at that, she said. I didn't say anything, not a word, because I'm not going to argue with somebody, especially at work. Okay, I have to work with them all the time. But I didn't say anything about it, but that's their mentality. They think perfection is when I walk through the door that if I have any dust on my shoes or any clods of dirt or some dog, it just falls right off. And then when I walk in, roses pop up out of the ground. And you walk in the door and it's just, if it's hot, there's a cool breeze just comes right behind you. I wish it was that way. That's the perfect they're looking at. And you make a mistake, I promise you. Job's accusers will show up, all three of them. But look, this word perfect means one who lacks nothing in physical strength or beauty. Now, that's the outside guy. Sound and wholesome. Look, an ordinary, quiet sort of person. A complete person. Morally innocent. Having integrity. One who is morally and ethically pure. You say there's no way we can do that. Well, he asked us to be perfect. So he asked us to be what? Complete. He asked us to complete our journey and be complete with God, not halfway. Not be halfway reconciled, but to be totally reconciled. And we'll get into that just for a minute. Because look, in Ephesians 4:11, he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You've read this many times before. For what though? For the perfecting of the saints. For, in other words, for the completion of the saints' journey. Everybody with me? Can I say it that way without changing the Bible? For the perfecting of your life in Christ, not your life in the world. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come. It's a journey. Till we all come to Abraham. God's got patience. Remember, have patience with who? God. Because you know what? God doesn't dump it all on you at one time. He gives you what you need. Then he gives you what you need. Then he gives you what you need. Then he gives you what you need. And if you don't need that, he ain't going to give it to you. Come on, somebody. Or you know what? If you need something and you know, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows if he just gives it right to you, you're going to do something wrong with it. That not make him infinite? Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Because see, remember, we haven't said this many, many times, but we did it the first of this. This is the manifestation of the Son of God. The Holy Ghost, God in spirit form, inside of you, working toward that perfection. Everybody with me? That's the Son of God dispensation, not the Son of Man. Because in the Son of God dispensation, you can be fooled. You can be fooled. John Wesley was fooled. He'll tell you. Because he preached false doctrine. He couldn't get the people all the way out. Brother Brown tells us they couldn't get everybody out. Even Columbus, some of them hung back. Luther didn't want to come out and make a Lutheran doctrine. He wanted the Catholic Church to what? Conform to this new way of this protesting. He was protesting what they were doing. And then he wrote his thesis, but he still had flaws. You and I still have flaws under the knowledge of the Son of God. But was the Son of Man flawed? Huh? Isn't that what we're supposed to be in? The Son of Man dispensation? Right. That's right. Unto a perfect man. Look. Knowledge of the Son of God unto. A journey unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. No more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We were talking a few minutes ago about being under the ministry of this church here, Brother Dale, Brother Moat. Well, you can't discount him and them and everybody that's been here that's preached the truth. Let's come through here. Brother Mike Altig and different ones. You see how that they, let me just put it this way. I went to Piedmont College. Anna went to Piedmont College. We didn't go to Harvard or Yale, or Princeton. Wasn't for us to do. That's a different set of people. That's a different set of people. That's where you get your Rhodes Scholars. That's where you get your people that are highly intelligent. And that's what we are now. You and I, the bride in this end time. were the epitome, way past Rhodes Scholar, way past all that. We're at the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of man. We can speak things. What I tell you before, we can speak things. We can speak things that the world thinks we're crazy. And probably half the people in this message think we're crazy. Hello, somebody. The ministers will absolutely raise their hand and say, absolutely, that's the truth. But I thought we were going to be supposed to be till we come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That didn't say we're all in division. But we carried away with every wind of doctrine. Brother Smiley, this was my point. Brother Smiley, he grew up, I know most of you knew who Brother Coleman was. Brother Coleman was ordained by Brother Branham. And Brother Coleman was in New York, and he had a huge following. He was the one that, and I say this lightly, created the Seven Thunder Doctrine. Right, Dad? Yeah, Daddy knows. I think you may have met him one time, didn't you? Yep. So now he was of color. He was a black man. Highly intelligent. Had a big church in New York. But then he decides to start forwarding his doctrine. Cunning craftiness. Comes down to West Palm Beach to Brother Wesco's and presents that to him. And Brother Wesco says, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. So they enter into that doctrine, which is totally false. And if you want to know what it is, then you'll have to ask Daddy or somebody. I don't know everything about it, but it was like seven men and seven. You had to listen to seven different men, and there was all kind of mysteries going on. It was kind of almost a cult thing. Honestly, it was. It was almost they would say phrase words, and it would be that you were talking in secret. Kind of like a Masonic lodge, you know, kind of like the handshake, you know, you'll know he's a Mason by what he does in the room. Well, you know he's a Colemanite by what, you know, you say or do in the room. And that's in the message. But he got caught in that. Brother Willie got caught in that. A lot of the brothers got caught in that. Every wind of doctrine, when you hear this great thing come out, whoa, boy, that's good. Check it by the word. Me, anybody, Bob, brother Aaron, brother Weiss, check it by the word of God. Do not take it at face value. Because I promise you, if something inside of you, a little click that says, I don't know if that's true or not, you better check it out. I may be deceiving you. Don't get quiet on me. That's what it says right here. Every wind of doctrine. That wind of doctrine went from New York. It went down to Florida. It went out to Arizona. It went to California. Just like the wind of doctrine of this garbage of Brother Brown having to come back and put up a tent. And you know, I say garbage. I say because people are sitting around waiting on that to happen. And not studying the message for themselves. Bunch of lazy people is all I can say. With no revelation of what you're doing here. What you're doing here. I want to see Jesus Christ come back. Not William Branham. I want to see Jesus Christ come back inside of us. I thought it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought it was Christ that was being shown to the world. But you go to Arizona, where all that got started, in Tucson and Phoenix, and Chris, you know, he's out there in Flagstaff, and he fights it all the time. It's just very prevalent because what? That wind of doctrine flew out there. Then it flew over here. And Brother Brown was supposed to get in an airplane when he come back. Why would you need an airplane with a glorified body? I don't want one. And they didn't even keep the thing up. It sat out there and rusted. Hey, listen, at least Muhammad. Since the 12th century, when he died, they've been a horse. They believe there's been a horse. Every so many days, they change that horse, and they stand there with a guy. For thousands of years, they've never missed a day. Rain, wind, snow, whatever, war, there's a guy standing there because they know when Muhammad's coming back, he's going to need that horse. They didn't believe Brother Brown needed an airplane either. Well, I'm going to get out of that. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, That's what's here. Listen, Satan's in this message to deceive you. He's not in the world trying to deceive you. He's in this message trying to deceive you. He's already got them. Sorry if I hurt your feelings, but it's true. But look, speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Why would we want to sit and wait for something? The word perfected means to complete. It's complete furnishing or equipping. That's what that is. We're equipping. We're being equipped. As I said before, when you took that first cosmonaut and you put him in that first spaceship. Now, that wasn't Orville and Wilbur Wright in that first spaceship. Orville and Wilbur were on a piece of wood with a bicycle contraption. And they flew a couple of hundred feet and crashed. But that was the first beginning of your Christian journey. But look at it now. They run 14,000 miles an hour now when they put up a rocket ship, goes up into the... It runs 14,000 miles an hour. To get out of the atmosphere, it's got to be a lot. And you know what? They do it now. Hey, Elon Musk, he put that thing in forward and drive up, and he pulled it in reverse and set it back down. Not him himself, but whatever that rocket. You know, usually rockets, when we see rockets, they're non-usable. I mean, they use them one time, and they fall in the ocean, and I guess they become reefs or something. I don't know. Maybe they collect them back. I don't know. But they're not really usable. And then we came out with the Challenger and all the that program, and you could fly it up and fly it back. Well, now they got that rocket now that they can fly it up, turn around, and park it straight back down. Sometimes it don't work. Sometimes it does. But at least they're trying. Listen, man is trying to make themselves perfect, themselves, by science. But the more they make, the more they die. But not with Christ. The more he makes, the more you live. Amen. Patience. Someone that is not swerved from his deliberate purpose. Like Brother Smiley and I were talking about. You take somebody that's... They had to have patience because what happened, Brother Wesco heard someone else preach something different than what the Coleman camp was preaching. Because, see, they had their own preachers, and they kind of stayed in their own little clique. So you didn't hear anything from the outside. You didn't know anything from the outside. But a preacher come in and preached and blew that thing out of the water and helped Brother Wesco and them get out of that. They had patience. Brother Willie, they had patience in what they were doing. Because, listen, they had set their soul on that seven thunder doctrine. That was it. When them seven thunders went off, it was seven men. If you heard them seven men, you was going to take a body change. Well, let me let you in on a secret. All seven of those men are dead. Where's their voice? I'll take the voice of the seventh angel. Because the Bible said he's not going to be silenced. He's not going to take us down. He's going to take us up. So let's have patience. Man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Patient, steadfast. Brother Brown tells us in Statue of Perfect Man, he says, you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. You know, back to that point about, and I hate calling Brother Coleman's name, but everybody in the whole message know who it is or, you know, where that doctrine came from. But I don't think he was trying to deceive people. He was trying to do something. Amen. Everybody that has an angle is trying to do something. They're not literally trying to deceive everybody. They're trying to know this new something. Amen. This new doctrine, this new way. And you got to come listen to me. Well, see, you better right then. When somebody says, you got to come listen to me, get away. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. I believe the seven thunder sound. The Bible said they sounded. But it's not seven men I got to listen to for them to sound. we'd be in trouble because they're all gone. Now, Brother Brown said, now there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it. I know it. We see stumbles along the road. Scrap heap of what? Ministers. Most doctrines do not start in the congregation. Sad to say, they start behind the pulpit. Amen? We see these stumbles along the road. Scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians. Now, he's not talking about... regenerated, unregenerated people. He's talking about Christians. Piled along the road is because they don't go into it right. Because there was somebody that brought Brother Dale a message one time. Right? Maybe even two people. I know one for sure. Not going to call his name. And tried to get him to come into that. But Brother Dale went into it right. They didn't. He said, hey, wait a minute. And he studied it out. And when he studied it out, he saw that that minister was in the scrap heap. And you know what? He proved he's in the scrap heap because that's where he ended up. In the scrap heap. Right, Pop? I mean, I'm not telling a story, but y'all know who it is. So... up along the road. Not that they're you know, horrible people, but it's just they went out past God's program. You and I don't need to go out past God's program. Stay in the program that we're in. If you're not at patience, pray for what? Patience. That's why this weekend coming up, you know, let's make this a refresher, not just something that, it's just not a good idea I came up with, okay? I've been mulling it over for a little while, and some had said they'd like to be rebaptized, and I thought, and then some wanted to renew their vows, so I just thought we'd do all that together. But let's make that as a renewing of reconciliation. I'm going to read it before we close. I'll get done. I'm going to skip through all this. I can get to it Sunday. How that he's trying to teach this little church and myself how that they can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like to be that? Amen. You know what? Some people are scared to be that. Some people are scared to be the dwelling place of God because they don't have God inside of them. If you got God inside of you, you want to be like God because there's a call. Coming from inside, not from the outside. Coming from inside. Patience with what? Patience with God. Let me get on through. I'll read this and then we'll close. I've read this many times. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. We don't know who's going to make it and who's not. Remember the old saying, you look around in heaven and you say, well, what are they talking? What are they giggling about? He said, well, guy walked over there and he said, well, they're giggling because they didn't think you was going to make it. And that guy said, well, I was wondering how they made it. So don't worry about that. Worry about ourselves. That we endure to the end. The end is what? The end of our, like the seventh seal is the end of all things. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of all this sin and all this debauchery and all this world cosmos order. It will end. And what will end us will be the beginning of the eternal part. Sure, we live part of it inside of us, but I promise you, you don't feel very eternal every once in a while. Once in the morning and a while in the afternoon. Every day that ends in Y. And I guess I'm the only one. Sometimes it feels like you're preaching to yourself. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is godliness, Brother Brown? To be like God. So let's skip through this a little bit. He said, be therefore perfect. You got to have the nature of God. We got to have a doctrine according to godliness. We'll get to that next Sunday, but I want to read this down here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's keep going. And then that way we can close, and then I'll do this. We can do this next. Don't look at that. It'll make you sick. Let's start right here. Just for a minute. It's only 8:24. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? Psalms 4, verse 2. How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Amen. Remember, Brother Brown said God was a segregationist. We don't. We want the whole world to be saved. And God does too, but he knows who will and who won't. You and I don't. That's why we keep preaching. That's why we keep exhorting. We keep trying to pull people. Pull them in. I promise you one thing. Most of y'all sitting here looking at me today, I know. We know this was worthy of being saved. None of us. No, I'll guarantee you I wasn't either, buddy. The rest of you may be, but I'm not. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And the Lord will hear when I call unto him. So there's a direct link to him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. In other words, be patient. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Psalms 32, and here's David. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Here's the point I want to make. We'll stop right here. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. What does reconcile mean? Repair a relationship. Or to bring back together something that had been pulled apart. There's only one man that can reconcile us back to Christ, and that was Christ. Listen, Adam tried it. He couldn't do it. He sinned. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. A ministry that'll bring us back. That'll make us, number one, realize we were lost. Realize we were separated from God. Realize at one point we were not in the economy of God. But he had a part in his mind. By foreknowing that you would one day say, I've had enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So then if he did that, Brother John, he had to give us a ministry to get us back. He had to give us a ministry of reconciliation that now we can be reconciled back to who? Back to Christ. Right. To wit that God was in Christ, look, reconciling the whole world. The whole world. But not everybody's going to accept it. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Wow. And hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. So there's a ministry and there's a word to go with it. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's that word godly. But we got to read this before we close. Musicians come, everybody stand. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You'll be hated by your own brother sometimes. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We'll get to the rest of it. We hadn't even got down. I was trying to get to, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here's your promise. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. The ungodly are not so. There's your separation. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. You say, well, now hold on a minute. Hold on. What judgment is he talking about? Remember, there's part of you that's being judged here. Everybody's being judged on the earth. Some have got to go to the white throne. We don't. We go for a judgment of the deeds done in the body. But let's don't read into that the ungodly will not stand judgment. They're going to be judged. They're being judged now. But they're going to have to give the account when they get there. Nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Let's don't be ungodly. But if you live ungodly, you may have just a real happy life, because the devil's got you. But if you live godly in Christ, you're going to suffer, because this thing right here is contrary. Amen. See, this is not reconciled yet. Inside of you is reconciled. Okay, is everybody with me? This is reconciled in here. And we're working on the spirit realm being reconciled. But this was born in sin. But it will be changed. We have a promise that we'll have a body change. And we'll live for an eternity as young folk. We'll have a youth camp that'll last for eternity. There won't be no coloring and... There won't be no being gay, and there won't be no, praise God. There won't be no arthritis medicine. There won't be any aspirin, ibuprofen, all them drugs we take. None of that. Let's get drunk on God. Amen. Let's get drugged by the Lord, and we'll be fine. Amen? Amen? Let's sing a song. God bless you. That make you happy just thinking of that.
Blessed assurance,
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste
of glory divine.
An heir of salvation, a purchase of God. You're born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Sing it to him. Is this your story? This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story, this is my song,
praising
my Savior all the day long. Sing it to him. Oh, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Let them come. They bring what? God mercy,
whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
And Lord, I bind with him, Lord. the name of the Lord Jesus that his body will be in command of the inside. And the word of God says that he would be healed. By your stripes, Lord, our brother needs that to be made manifest now. Lord, we as human beings, Lord, sometimes we say we can only take so much. Lord, I pray that you would end this for our brother, Lord. The suffering part, the part that, Lord, he's not felt good for several weeks, Lord. And we know how that is, Lord. I pray that you'd help his stomach, his body, and we know for one thing, all the pins and needles and everything he's been through, Lord. We don't want that to ever happen again. Father, we ask that you would just saturate our brother with the Holy Spirit, that he will not feel the effects of this world, but the effects of the Word. Lord, I stand here with him, and I pray, Lord, as my buddy and my friend, Lord, somebody I've known for years and years, Lord, I pray that now we'll stand here, Lord, asking you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to take this away from our brother, any affliction. It's not impossible, because all things are possible with you, Lord. Lord, may our brother give testimony of the strength and nurturing that you give his body, Lord, in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Day long. I mean,
Jesus is my.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do not need to know what this cloth is for. We just know that it's for a purpose. And Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as this cloth, Lord, goes to wherever it goes, Father, I pray that there be a miracle. And Lord, that there be a reconciliation, something brought back, Lord. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you keep our brother strong, Lord. That you'll touch him, Lord, and his family and his job, the things he does here, Lord. Very important, Father. And I pray that you would, now as he stood for you, that you'll stand for him, Lord. Whatever the need is, in Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen. Got it? Go.
The day long, this is my story. This is my song. Just praising my Savior all the day long.
Go with God. Take what's been said tonight. Let it sink in there somewhere. Take your part. Whatever you need, it was there for you. I know for a fact God doesn't waste time. He tells you what you need, and then he lets you do what you need to do with it. All right? So let's go with the Lord. June and I will be gone Friday evening. We're going to the wedding, and we'll have a reception. I think Brother Joe and Sister Rachel, y'all going too, right? We're kind of connected to these two, you know. Brother Joe's become a DJ, so I'll be doing the wedding at 4 o'clock. Just keep us in prayer. Lauren and Mackenzie are getting married at 4 o'clock on Saturday in Clemson. I know that's not a place for a bulldog to be, but that's okay. We won't be there long, but we'll be staying there Friday night. So if you need anything, still just let us know. We're only 45 minutes from here. But just pray for Sunday. That we'll have a wonderful dedication. For those of you that have not got your spouse a thing of flowers, there'll be a few here that if you can't get one, Dollar General don't have them. Not the ones you want to give. But let's have a vow renewal like none other. And renew ourselves to God. But we still need to live close to each other. And I know you sisters and brothers that have lost loved ones. I pray for you all the time. I pray for you. But I can't sympathize with you because I haven't lost anything yet. But I can see your struggle. I can see your trial. And I try, as we always do, to help the widows. Give them stuff, you know. take time for me. How many times, Charlotte, I said, well, you okay? If I hear you need anything and hadn't told me, we're going to be in trouble. Because we're all one. We're all together. We're all in this together. You can renew yourself to God. Be married to Christ. We all are. But we'll have a vow renewal Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We'll start a regular service at 2 o'clock. We'll have a song service. So, Brother Luis, we'll have a regular song service for 30 minutes or so and special. And then we'll start into the vow renewal. We will do it first. And then we'll do a baby dedication or a dedication of whoever wants to be dedicated. We'll come up here and anoint each other with oil and give you a prayer cloth or whatever you need. And then we'll go outside. And, you know, if you want to be baptized, water will be warm. I promise you. I just filled it up, and I'll turn the heater on. Sometime Saturday night, we'll come back from the wedding and come up here and turn it on, and it'll be good and warm, so you won't be so cold. Water was cold today. It was about 60 degrees. It was pretty chilly. But we do it all for you, all for each other. We do it for everybody. We want to include and make sure we don't disclude anybody. Or exclude anybody. We want everybody to be a part of the... you are a part of the church. Everybody. Y'all got a part to play. Whether you never say a word or not. Where's Anna? She in the back? Mom, do you need to get her to sign that? She did a beautiful... It's like June said today.
Anime.
Yeah, Anna.
Anime.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what I was getting to. If you don't know what anime is, it's an animated character. She said she never thought she'd see Nanny and Pop being an animated character. They're kind of characters, and they're a little bit animated, especially my mother. But Anna, yeah, I know. I'll be fine. I'm going home with Jim. Anna Durrett drew a wonderful picture. Go look at it. But they want her to sign it. So if she would sign it for it. And to me... that's a ministry. If you use it right, that's a ministry. Singing's a ministry. Playing your instruments. I don't do nothing in the church. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Amen.
The success of Brother Brown's meetings, what did he tell you? Two women in a closet praying for the service. Not some great anointed something that they get in there and they're all shouting and speaking in tongues. No, two women in the closet. Praying for the success of the meeting. That's why we have a prayer meeting next Saturday for the success of the meeting coming up the next day. I mean, we pray for everything else, but I pray for the success of the meetings. I don't want this to be just some time that we spend. Well, I mean, we're taking up time till we get out, till we die, or we get out of here. No, we ain't taking up time. We're spending time where we would spend it out there. We're spending it in here. All right, so pray for what's going on this weekend. Be here regular service Sunday morning. All the Sunday schools, everything will be fine, same. I'll minister Sunday morning, Lord willing, if we're still all here. And then we'll dismiss, go get something to eat, come back at 2 o'clock, have song service, and then we'll go right in. Because I want to just lay out a few things about water baptism and about vows and stuff just for a little bit. And then we'll start into that. And it shouldn't last. Oh, I hope it lasts 3 hours. But it won't last too long, I hope. We can all get it done. And I want to pray for our young people, too.
Amen.
I want to gather all the young people up Sunday and pray for them. Because they're having it rough. All of them. They're having it rough. You know, I don't know. Not one spoke to me about it. I just know a young person has a hard time. I had one in the 70s, and boy, it's way worse now. The things y'all have to deal with that we haven't had to ever deal with when we were kids. But you're dealing with them, and we appreciate it. You're here at church. You're all godly looking children, and I just appreciate that. And you know what? If it doesn't all come from within, then guess what? It's work. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be, right? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us. I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, as we continue on the highways, as we continue with our jobs and the different things that we do, Lord, just being in the community, walking through the community, just reflecting Christ to the people, Lord, and shining their light. Lord, we pray that no one will even feel a little bit insignificant in this church. We all feel like we've got a part to play. Father, just be with us now. Take care of us until we come back. Lord, bless us as we travel Saturday or Friday to the wedding, Lord, and the ones that are going. And on Sunday, Lord, that everyone will come here with a wonderful attitude, prayed up, and want to hear from you, Lord, and want to renew our vows to you and to our spouse, and also rededicate ourselves and water baptism. Wow, what a way to start. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Jesus has